iHeart Communities, thank you so much for joining us. I'm Renee Danino, and today we're going to continue our conversation with our dear friends from Fidelco Guide Dogs and talk to clients about their journey and experience with Fidelco, based right here in Connecticut. It's kind of cool to have an international organization right here. Today, one of our favorite guests is joining us. Bill DeMayo has shared his stories, his passion, and his community outreach on iHeart Communities for many, many years. You may know him as the superintendent of Newington Parks and Recreation, and he is also a client of Fidelco. Bill, it is great to have you here today.
It's wonderful to be with you in iHeartRadio.
I know today you're joining us on our socially distanced hotline, but usually you come in with your guide dogs. First, it was Isaac. Then when you got Lyric, it was great to meet her. And it's always exciting because you do something that we'll talk about a little later, but you actually take the harness off your guide dogs so that I can actually pet them. And this is a very important thing to know because there is guide dog etiquette that we are going to cover during our conversation today. And I know you have a lot to say on that, Bill, right?
No doubt about it. We have to send out a message about, you know, not talking to guide dogs and not petting guide dogs and things like that, because it is really unsafe for the handler.
Right, because they're working. But first and foremost, let's remind our audience, for those that may be new to this program or new to hearing you on our show, which I think might be impossible, Bill, because I think you've been on my show more than I have. But Bill, tell me from the beginning, when you knew you were starting to lose your vision and when you knew you needed to reach out and get a little help, and especially that moment where you knew you wanted to maybe have a guide dog from Fidelco.
Yeah, it was kind of a crazy story, but I got retinitis pigmentosa when I was young, probably around the 16 years of age. And then at 30, I had to give up my driver's license. And at the time, I went up to Boston and got this, you know, this diagnosis of retinitis pigmentosa, mass eye and ear. And the doctor, you know, mentioned, you know, you might not want to tell people back home that you have a slow blinding disease. And then when I discussed it with my boss, you know, he said the same thing. You know, maybe you don't make a big deal about this. Don't tell people about it because they'll discriminate against you. And, you know, as people with disabilities live every day of their lives with discrimination, people don't realize it. But it's subtle, then it's blatant, then it's subtle again. And it's really crazy. But nonetheless, I pretended I didn't have it. I tried to fake it out. Then friends and family started to realize, you know, what was going on. And it got worse and worse each year. I'm 62 years old now and basically can see a light in a dark, you know, that's basically what I can, so I don't have much functional vision anymore. So, you know, how did I come upon all this? So it got to a point when I was about 53 years old. So for 53 years of my life, I pretended I wasn't blind. And then at 53, I was walking either dark or in dawn or dusk, because that's where I could see the difference of white sidewalk versus dark road. And it was the safest for me, but I was, you know, walking in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, and a woman was running towards me. She thought I could see, and she thought I'd move out of the way, and I didn't because I didn't see her. She smashed into me. She fell down on the ground. She swore at me, yelled at me. I said, I'm sorry, I'm blind. She said, yeah, right, and she got up and ran away. So I was, you know, kind of talking to God and praying at the same time of my walk, saying, you know, give me an indication of what I should do. What should I do here? And it was kind of like a message from God that just said, hey, listen, what else do you want me to do before you get hurt to get, you know, a guide dog or get some training for, with a cane?
Bill, can I ask you a quick question about this? What was it like? Because I know you on a personal level, and I just want to interject here. You are such a type A personality. You get things done. I mean, people go to you. They tell you, hey, I have an idea or I need help. And you are known for making things happen. What was it like for you to know you couldn't control this one aspect of your life, being that, you know, you're a great husband, you're a great father, you're a great community leader, but this is something so personal and you couldn't control it?
Yeah, it was a message that I needed to send out to everybody, that I was going to have my glass half full. So I determined quickly in my life that I could wake up every morning and be upset or mad or sad, or I could be happy. And it was one of these internal things that I just said, I have to make this a mission in my life. If I'm going to be a problem solver, like you demonstrated or you mentioned, then I've got to have a pleasant demeanor and I have to be positive. And my daughters, Danielle and Laura, they gave me shirts at Christmas time that had a glass filled with half full with water, and said, "My dad's glass is always half full."
Aww.
So it was kind of a nice thing, you know, to reinforce. And it's difficult. There's no doubt about it. I my heart goes out to everybody with people with disabilities, because the road is a tough one, but you can make it, and you just have to find alternative ways. You have to adapt. You have to adjust and make your life worthwhile, and always say that whatever's inside you is stronger than what's in front of you. So you always try to use your inside heart and guts and brains to figure out a way to solve the problems, figure out a way to get the job done. And that's what I've been, you know, trying to do with my whole life, really.
All right, now you're 53. Well, not in real life, but let's go back in time. You're 53, yep. And you decide you need to do something. You were asking for help. You were looking up. You were praying. You were looking for an answer. And one of your daughters actually helped you get connected to Fidelco. Tell that story.
Yeah, kind of as God would have it, and crazy, right? My daughter Laura gets her master's degree at UConn in nonprofit management, and goes to Fidelco, volunteering with the puppies and the dogs because she loves animals, very similar to my wife. And then they recruited her to become a guide dog trainer. So they take a 3-year class. It's all kinds of certifications that's in North America. And her first string of dogs, which they give her 6 dogs to train, and they took her on as a full-time job as a guide dog trainer, and she took a string of dogs of 6. One of them just so happened to be Isaac, and raised by puppy raisers Linda Manning and Art Williams, that are fabulous people. And she said, she kind of recommended to the Fidelco team with this big meeting. They figure out what kind of people have blindness and what their needs are, and then they figure out what kind of dogs they have and their personalities. Are they fast? Are they slow? Are they workers? Are they players? You know, what do they do? And they try to match the dog up to each blind person. So it's really an interesting, interesting process. And Laura said, "Listen, you know, I know this dog, Isaac, plays hard and works hard. And my father always used to say that as his mantra, play hard, work hard. And I think this could be a perfect match." And everybody around the table went along with it, and that was an unbelievable amount of pressure on Laura, being my daughter, in making a recommendation like that. So she was stressed out, but, you know, as time would have it, it just was just the perfect match. I mean, the dog was just fabulous.
Oh, I can speak to that because I've met Isaac several times. And my favorite thing about Isaac is when you get to take his harness off so that I can pet him, because he's just an amazing creature. And Fidelco does amazing things with their training. Their trainers, actually, now's a good time to say thank you to trainers like your daughter and the team over at Fidelco, because they're truly doing amazing work and giving you the freedom to have, you know, I hate saying the word normal, because what does that mean anyway, right? But basically giving you the freedom to walk down the street and not worry about crashing into a person who may have, you know, some unkind words to say to you, not realizing that you're blind. So tell me about that first meeting with Isaac, your first guide dog, and what it was like to actually, once you went through the training, once you met with the trainers and they said, okay, now it's the two of you, now you're a team. What was that like when you were able to go out and conquer the world again and not have those fears?
Oh, it's the freedom and independence that you get from a guide dog is incredible. I mean, I have nothing against people with blindness that use canes. I get it. You don't have to brush a cane. You don't have to bring it to the vet. You don't have to feed it. But to have a guide dog is just, in my opinion, is just incredible. You know, you've seen me at the Life Being at Extravaganza in Newington, right, where Isaac sits through the fireworks show and we're probably 600 feet away from the shooter. You know, Isaac's a trooper. I mean, he takes me through crowds of 40,000 people. He takes me to a pool and has little kids running up to the dog, you know, not knowing any better, from the pool. And he takes me through camps. He goes construction. We're building buildings, and he's everywhere. He takes me everywhere I need to go, and he's my eyes. and lyrics to my eyes, you know, during the process. And it's such a wonderful feeling, and I can walk miles. Every morning we walk 3 to 5 miles, and we get our exercise, and we get our freedom, and it's wonderful. I can't tell you how great it is to have a guide dog. It's just wonderful.
And you had Isaac as your working guide dog for how many years?
You get them when they're about 2 years old, and they work approximately 8 years, you know, some more, give or take more.
Right, right.
But Isaac, you know, he worked 8 years for me. He became about 10 years old. In fact, Friday was his birthday. He became 11. His birthday was 11 years old. So he's about 77 years old in dog of
years. Happy birthday, Isaac. I love you. I'll bring you a pupcake. I'm sorry. I'm late on this. A happy belated. But you know, let's talk a little bit about this, because, you know, what's really unique about Fidelgo, I think, from what I'm hearing from all of the clients and just from working with you all for so many years, is that, you know, you sit with the trainers. They actually come to you so that they can train the dog to fit your lifestyle. And just truthfully, Bill does a lot of work with the public. He's outside a lot, and he deals with a lot of people sometimes. You know, I mean, obviously we're doing this, you know, interview during COVID-19, and so things have been a little different this year. But traditionally and normally, I mean, you've been in situations where you've been around 20, 30,000 people and having to navigate your way with your dog. So everybody's job is a little bit different, and lifestyle too. But with Bill specifically, you know, your job is really being in it with people, and like you said, with construction. And, you know, what was that like for the trainer? You know, and we're going to get to Lyric, because that's your newer guy dog of over a little over a year now. But, you know, what was that like trying to tell the trainer, you know, when you were first hooked up with Isaac, that this is my lifestyle and this is what I need?
Yeah, I think it was the ultimate challenge for the dog, the ultimate challenge for me, the handler, and ultimate challenge for Fidelgo, because, you know, I have such a varied job, you know, where sometimes I'm on stage, you know, the portable stage that, mm-hmm. that we bring in, and, you know, the dog has to walk me up the stairs and over to the podium and try to keep me from falling off the stage. And it's just amazing what happens. I speak at conferences, and like at Mohegan Sun, I always tell this story that I have a friend that will show me how to get to up to my room on, say, the 14th floor or whatever at Mohegan Sun, because I'm going to speak at the Connecticut Recreation and Parks Conference. And we go up the elevator, and you get out and you go left, right down the hallway. And then I put some cookies on the door, and I say, Isaac, you know, door, and I back up 10 feet, and I go find the door, and he finds the door. I give him another cookie. I back up 20, 30 feet. And they call it back chaining. Well, when the next year came, I only go to Mohegan Sun once a year to speak, and my buddy, we go up the elevator this particular year, and the door opens, and Isaac's ears go back. I go, I don't know, he's a little agitated. Let me see where he wants to go. And he go left, right, left, right, left, right, and a year later, he puts his nose on the door that we stayed at a year ago.
Oh, my gosh.
My buddy goes, are you kidding me? This is where we stayed last year. So the dog remembered from a year ago, and
jeez,
where we stayed, our hotel room. And that's the kind of independence and freedom that a dog gives you. And I have a command that says not today, because I didn't think those people wanted me in their room the next year.
That's a very funny story, Bill. Oh, my gosh. But, I mean, it's just a true testament to your relationship and to the care and to the training. These dogs are just brilliant and intelligent beings, and I just love them so much. And I want to now talk about what it was like for you, because you two were like a dynamic duo. What was it like to know that you were going to have to now apply for another guide dog and then retire Isaac? And then were you even sure where Isaac, I mean, obviously I know you wanted to keep Isaac, but did you have all these questions? Like what was your life like during that time when you knew you were going to have to get another guide dog? Because it probably was very emotional, I would imagine, anyway.
Oh, totally emotional roller coaster, ripping my heart out, ripping Isaac's heart out. You know, this dog would throw himself underneath a bus for me, and I would do the same for him. So, you know, now I'm sitting there going, okay, so how do I do this? And what happened was his back legs were given out, and we have the greatest veterinarian in the world, Jacqueline Kubis, out of West Hartford, Connecticut veterinarian. She you know, we would go each time for a checkup and say, well, is it time yet? Is it time? And finally, you know, she said, yeah, it is. And she's crying. I'm crying. My wife is crying. And it was something. It was like, holy cow, I really got to give up Isaac after 8 years of never going more than 4 feet away from me on the leash 24/7. I mean, you know, I spend more time with the dog than any person ever. So it was emotional, and I was so fortunate to be able to own my own house and have a wife that loves animals. So as opposed to if I was in an apartment, the ADA doesn't allow you to have a retired guide dog because then they become a pet, and you can't have a guide dog and a pet oftentimes in an apartment. So I was very fortunate to do that. So I said, okay, I'm going to make the decision to keep Isaac and not give him to a retired home where people do volunteer to take guide dogs, retired guide dogs. So it was something. I'll tell you, Renee, that when I first got Lyric, it was, you know, they had to slowly get them together in the backyard and slowly have them walk together, slowly have them play together. But when I, you know, jumping fast forward, when I went to work for the first day with Lyric, Isaac put his nose at the back door to our garage and stayed there for 9 hours until I came back. My wife said it was the saddest thing she ever saw.
I'm going to cry, but at least he knew he was still going to get you, right, at the end of the day. But I mean, you know, it's something to think about, though, the bond that you guys create with one another, right?
Oh, it was wicked. And I wanted to be really good to Lyric, too. So I wanted her to know she had my full attention. But I also had such great loyalty to Isaac. It's just, you know, it's hard to put it in words, but it's a pretty rough road. And I can tell you the first 3 months together, I wasn't sure I could handle it. It was something to leave Isaac and to come home. And then, but the good news, the really good news is they get along beautifully. They play together. We were fortunate enough to fence in the backyard. So as soon as Lyric gets off harness, she becomes crazy. She runs in the backyard with Isaac. Isaac chases her around. So I think it keeps him young and it keeps him active and somewhat of a normal, again, we use the word normal, quote unquote normal life. So right now, a year and 3 months into it, it's going really well, really well.
Talk a little bit about the day you first met Lyric, because I do want people to know that this is something that you chose to do. You chose to take on the responsibility of keeping Isaac with you because you loved him as a best friend and your guide for so many years, and you wanted a new dog. So this was important for you. This isn't something that everybody does, but it's something that you and your family wanted to do. It was important. So now you are meeting Lyric, and what was that like for the first time?
Yeah, it was really crazy. They took Lyric. What they do is you walk Isaac a little bit ahead. When you're introducing two different dogs, you walk on a leash with Isaac, and then behind you, the trainer walks Lyric, and then you let Lyric walk ahead of Isaac in front. So they start to on a turf that's not anybody owns, right? So you're on the street, so it's neutral ground for the animals. And that's how they kind of start getting together. And then we went out into the backyard and never went into the house. We always went into the backyard. And Eric Gardell, one of the trainers over there, he introduced the two dogs together. And they started running around, and I threw a couple tennis balls. And Eric Gardell looked at me and he goes, "We're not going to have any problem here." So it was really nice. It was really nice. I said, "You sure?" And he goes, "Yeah, I'm sure. This is going to work out like a charm." And I don't know if he was just trying to make me feel good or what, but it was it did work out really, really nicely. And then you bring them back, you bring them into the house, and you slowly, you know, introduce them, and you feed them together, and you give them water together, and you give them toys, and it's really something. It's amazing. Absolutely, no words can really describe it.
And talk a little bit about something we touched on at the top of our conversation about that guide dog etiquette. I know we did touch on it a little bit, but maybe expand it, because it could mean a matter of life and death. So talk about what guide dog etiquette is for you and the message you'd like to relay to our audience.
Yeah, all guide dog handlers really want to say to the public that we know you love our dogs, we know you love animals, but really when a dog is in harness, please do not talk to it. Don't look at it eye to eye. Ignore it. Do not pet it. You almost have to treat a guide dog as a piece of medical equipment, you know, so that's really what you would do to the dog, because the reason is, and people don't understand it, is I usually call the dog's name, and it's followed with a command. So if the dog is bringing me to the top of the stairs or the bottom of the stairs, let's say the top of the stairs, and you call its name, it's starting to say, well, it might turn its focus to you and forget about the stairs, and I could fall down the stairs and hurt myself. So it's really a safety type of issue for us, and that's so important that the guide dog is always focused and always working when it's in harness. Even though it looks like it might be sleeping on my feet right now in my office, they know that they're always working and always on alert, and they pop up instantly to help you whenever I need it.
If you could let our audience know how Fidelco has changed your life, especially in your profession, what would you like to leave our audience with today?
Greatest thing ever that's happened to me. It's a game changer. All the puppy raisers that raise guide dogs, they're doing God's work, and I appreciate every single one of them. Every blind person in the world thanks the puppy raisers for raising them for 2 years, and we thank Fidelco for doing what they do. The dogs are worth about $46,000 after 2 years, and it's just a game changer for us. I can change people's lives at a special event for 4 hours, say, or 5 hours, have a concert or have a special event. Guide dogs change a person with blindness their whole life, 24/7, you know, every single day of their life, every minute of their life for about 8 or 10 years. That's, words can't describe how important that is. Giving me freedom and independence to do anything I want. Traveling in an airplane, going to a blind adventure camp for the summer. Isaac and I took off the first time I got him, and we stayed 10 days out there doing all kinds of high adventure stuff, and just beautiful. I mean, giving you freedom and independence where I never was able to travel on an airplane without a human being helping me. So I can do almost anything now, and nothing gets in my way. And if it does, I try to figure out a way to get around it.
So you've been with Fidelco, you've been a client since age 53. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah, just about 53.
And how old are you now, Bill?
62.
I know. I don't want to point out the age or anything, but do you think you'll have another adventure park in your future, or are we going to take a break from that?
No, I think this probably is in the future. Yes, I enjoyed it very much and like to go back out there in Oregon. It would be really nice.
Ah, very cool. And Lyric is just so lovely. I couldn't be any more proud to call you friend, and also honored that you tell your story, because it is life changing. As you said, it is a game changer. And I know Fidelco is so thrilled to have you as a spokesperson. Fidelco.org to get more information about the organization, see pictures. Maybe you want to find out about becoming a puppy raiser, or maybe you want to do some volunteering, or just maybe even make a simple donation to know that it's going towards such an amazing organization. Bill, I thank you so much for your time today. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Bill DeMayo is the superintendent of Newington Parks and Recreation, and I'm going to just go ahead and say a lifelong client of Fidelco. Thanks for being here today, and say hello to Isaac and Lyric for me.
Thank you so much, and I'm going to have to say you're the best radio personality known to mankind, so we really appreciate everything you do.
All right, well, we'll see if that makes it into the final edit, although I know who's editing it, and I think it will.
Also, I'll be doing a fundraiser very shortly. They'll be announcing it next week. I'm going to be a New England captain for Fidelco, and anybody that wants to come on my team, it's walk, run, or ride. We're going to raise a whole bunch of money for Fidelco to help other people with blindness and help Fidelco serve more clients throughout North America. So hopefully anyone listening to this tonight or today, whatever it is, please sign up under Bill DeMayo's team, and we're going to raise a ton of money and do some good things for Fidelco.
All right. Now, where can we find the link for that? Because I will put it along with our interview here today, because I know people will be very interested, and you can find it at mycommunityaccess.com. But, you know, do you know where this will be, or how we can find you for this?
Yep, it's on the fidelco.org, and it's under special events, and it's called Walk, Ride, Walk, Run, or Ride, and it'll be out in the next few days.
Wonderful. Well, thanks, Bill, and we look forward to when you can come on in for an in-person visit.
That'd be nice. I'll be looking forward to that. Thanks for everything.
Thanks for being on iHeart Communities.